Buddy, thanks for joining me. My name is Elizabeth Alfano, and I am over the moon. I have in the studio with me Philippe Valcoste. Let me say the very sexy Philippe Valcoste. But he is more than a pretty face. He's also Pedro Nava on FX's Snowfall. So stick with me. I'm going to dish with Philippe Valcoste.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow, nice.
Lovely day. Those of you who saw Snowfall yesterday as it came out on FX, you know this song. So, Philippe and I also love this song. little disco to get our afternoon going. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. My name is Elizabeth Alfano. So glad to be with you here today. If you want to find me on all the social medias, as they say, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO, and I am still on Facebook, so you can find me there at Elizabeth Alfano and all my celebrity interviews on thedinnerparty.tv. Enough about me. We've got the very sexy Philippe Valcoste in the house, and I want to welcome him to the studio. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me.
So far, it's only two episodes in, but I am in love with Snowfall. So I want to certainly talk to you about that. And you've had an incredible trajectory coming from Portugal to the United States. So of course I want to talk to you about that. But more than anything, I wanted to sit down and talk to you because I love Portugal.
Good.
I do. I love Portugal. So I want to say cheers to you.
Cheers to you. Yeah.
I brought out a little wine on your behalf.
Thank you. This is very special for
so
me.
So you Thank pronounce you. It because it's...
It's vinho verde.
Okay.
Vinho verde.
Vinho verde, people. Yeah. Vinho verde. And when I was in Portugal, I drank a lot of vinho verde.
Oh, no. That's very dangerous.
It was super fun. Yeah, yeah. Cheers to you.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into your whole life, which is a great trajectory and a great American dream story, tell people where they can find you on social media in case they want to follow up.
Yeah. Everyone can find me on social media, Instagram and Twitter, Philippe V. Costa.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then Facebook. I have my official page there as well. So
great.
Yeah, and my website, philippevalcoste.com.
Okay, great. So everyone follow up with both of us. So before I really get into the nitty-gritty with you, I'll just give people the overall trajectory so they sort of have a sense of from whence you came.
Thank you.
So you were born in Lisbon, which is just a beautiful city, and you had an urge early on to get into acting, and you set your sights on acting big in the United States. I mean, I can't imagine a further dream than that from your town of Lisbon. And your folks said, well, then you better get a scholarship.
Yeah.
So you were good in tennis, and you ended up landing a
good
scholarship.
Enough. Good enough
in tennis. Okay. Well, that was going to be my first question for you. Okay, so you were good enough in tennis to get a scholarship. Mm-hmm. At a little town called Lamoni, Iowa.
Lamoni. Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Cheers to Lamoni.
Cheers to Lamoni,
yes. I had never heard of Lamoni before today. So that's up to you, Lamoni.
Yeah, to Lamoni.
We'll drink to Lamoni.
It's a beautiful small town, by the way.
I bet it is. Yeah, I'm sure it is. As most American towns are, very sweet and charming. So I can't even imagine the cultural shock there. And we'll get into that for sure.
Yeah.
But from there, you go to the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. You put your name in the lottery. You get a green card. You go to New York. And you land it all the way to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So we're going to follow the whole trajectory the American dream. Let's start at the beginning and tell me, because you were good enough in tennis to get a scholarship.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you decide to go acting and not tennis?
So I started playing tennis when I was four.
Oh, my
word. So that was really my life
up
until college. You know, I was just very focused on tennis. And my family is very much a tennis family.
Uh-huh.
My sister also plays. She's still playing. My brother played very well. You know, he made it to the finals of national championships in Portugal.
Wow.
And we were there. That was our life for a very long time. Meanwhile, my dad would take me to go see plays produced by my cousin, who actually started a theater company in Portugal, a pretty important theater company in Portugal. And he would take me, and I would sort of subconsciously took a liking to it, you know, not really knowing that that was triggering things within me. But yeah, those two things were happening, and then it came to a point where it was one or the other.
And when you got that scholarship, you must have felt like, well, this is the path. This is how it's supposed to shake out.
Well, it was... So, when I did... I actually did 1 year of college in Portugal. I did okay. 1 year. And during that year, I auditioned for a theater company in Lisbon. And it was sort of the first time, you know, because I had done all the school plays and I would love being in those. And I'd always love being the person who reads out loud in class. And always seeing my cousin do theater. But also, you know, at some point, when I auditioned for that theater company, it became very much my reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember the moment. I was doing tennis, working for that theater company, and going to college at the same time. And this, I lived in Cascais, which is actually 30 minutes away from Lisbon. So I would do school in Lisbon, travel to Lisbon, come back to Cascais and play tennis, and then go back to the theater and work at the theater at night. And I remember very specifically after 5 months of doing the play, of rehearsing the play, and working with the theater company, I had this moment where I went up to my director at the time and sort of our mentor, and I said, Avila was his name. Avila, I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm exhausted. Because I thought, okay, this is the part of my life that I can just get rid of now so that I can be not as tired without really paying attention to how much I was loving what I was doing, right? And he stopped for 5 seconds. I still remember this very moment as just the moment where everything just sort of switched for me. Stopped for 5 seconds. Can I curse or not?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, good.
You can, and we're welcoming it.
And he said, shut the fuck up because you love this. And he walked away. Mm. And this is sort of, he's one of the great masters of Portuguese theater. So he said that to me, walked away, and he went and smoked a cigarette. And I remember just staying in that spot for what it felt like an eternity. It was probably just a minute, but it felt like I have to do this. This is what I actually love doing. And actually, if I was to leave this right now, I would be very, very sad. Mm-hmm. So I got home. And I don't know how much longer after this it was. I told my parents, I think this is it. This is what I want to do. And from their perspective, at the time, Portugal was going through a very, very big financial crisis. Mm-hmm. So things are hard here for actors. Mm-hmm. Back in Portugal, they're even harder.
Sure.
So for my parents, they were, well, you play tennis. Do you want to go to the United States with a tennis scholarship, try that, and study acting at the same time? And I was 17, so I was like, yes, let's go.
Yes,
this is amazing.
I can't wait. Wow.
Yeah, without even thinking about it. Yeah.
Wonderful vision from them, really, to and support,
sure.
to sort of say, like, sure. okay, let's be crafty about this. And how can we make that work?
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, they really filled me with some sort of like, because I had been daydreaming about America for so long when they said, all right, then let's seek this opportunity that, because there are these coaches that come from Spain to Portugal. Mm. And basically what they do is they watch you play and then they choose a university for you. And Iowa was the school that chose me and gave me a full ride. So for me, it was like, I'm going to the United States, whether I'm going to New York or LA or Iowa, it does not matter. You know, I didn't really think twice about it.
But you know, in a way, it's even more beautiful because had you landed in New York, you'd never get to Iowa.
Sure.
Now you've been to Iowa, so you can always go to New York
exactly,
and Los Angeles because, of course, your career is going to take you there.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are any similarities between playing competitive tennis, maybe not professional tennis, but at least at a competitive level, and acting. There must be some disciplinary crossover.
There is a lot of that I feel like I have been using in my work as an actor subconsciously. Oh, I think the last 2 years I've been picking up on, oh my God, they are so alike in so many ways.
I'd love to hear how.
The first one that I can think of, they can be very lonely jobs, you know. As you're going through New York City auditioning by yourself from one appointment to another, you know, just going into all these rooms by yourself, tennis is very much that way. You know, if you play soccer, if you play football, if you play baseball, you have a team.
Yes,
you always have that core, you know, which I really felt in college here. I had a little bit of that team feeling, which was also very helpful for me. That's one way. I mean, there's so much. I could talk to you about this forever. There's a book called The Inner Game of Tennis that is actually given to a lot of acting students.
Oh, that's
because
great.
It teaches you to live in the moment and to not hold on to the past and to have that ability to continue to persist without overthinking life, and it's very easy for us as actors to all of a sudden get in our heads because whether it is because things are not happening or things are happening in a way that we don't, you know, kind of feel like it's going our way, that's very much tennis. You know, so it's been very, beautiful, actually, to make the transition from one to the other.
To see the synergy there. Mm. I was wondering if it might have anything to do with the mental game, because tennis is so much of, you know, that mental fortitude. And acting is, too, because you have to be able to take rejection again and again and still get up there and audition as if it was your first time.
I feel like I did all my overthinking while I was playing tennis.
Oh, that's great. You got it out of the way.
Yeah, a little bit. And, some of it will still carry into my acting career, and I will obsess about certain things or not get over certain things, which is very hard, you know, in this life. It's very hard to keep moving through and staying in the moment. But, you know, tennis has really given me that, you know, that's just, it's such a gift that my parents have given me, you know, just that ability to be able to move from moment to moment without really looking back too much or looking forward too much.
Yeah. It is a gift, and it's a great foundation, and you need a foundation upon which to build. Well, I'm sort of curious, while talking about Sweet Lemoni, what were your initial reactions to the United States? What kind of culture shock did you have?
So the first year was definitely hell.
It was hard.
it was very hard. Yeah, it was lonely. I have memories of calling my mom in the middle of the night and saying, "Mom, I can't do it anymore. I gotta come back." Because it's really in the middle of nowhere, I didn't speak English as well as I do now. So in many ways, I felt like I could communicate things to people, but I couldn't really express myself the way that I wanted to.
Yeah,
one thing is to be able to communicate. Another thing is to be able to express your thoughts, your values, your ideas,
your emotions.
Exactly. Yes. And for me, being Portuguese, that's a big part of living. It's like you have to express your emotions, otherwise you die. You may as well die, right?
So otherwise.
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of Iowa, and it's as small as it gets. It's I think 2,000 people live there, and the school itself is 1,000. And it really lives around that college, Graceland University, and it's a beautiful small town. But until I really adjusted, it was very hard.
Yes.
My mom, I remember I went home for the summer, because you get to come home over the summer, and I told my mom, I don't think I want to go back. So try to go back again. If it really doesn't go well again, come back. I'll take you. But let's keep persisting. And again, it's been sort of the theme of my life to just keep persisting. You have to as an actor. It's not something that I'm like, yeah, I've done it. It's just we have to do it if we're really serious about it. And so then I went back and I started to love it. A community started to be born in my tennis team. My tennis team was the most beautiful group of people. We had two people from France, two people from Mexico, one person from Honduras, one from Bolivia. This is my first experience in the United States, and I'm getting to be, introduced into all these beautiful cultures, and they very much, because all of us were coming from very far away countries, we were all very proud of our cultures and of our backgrounds, so we were just sharing music with each other and sharing movies with each other, and that was just beautiful.
Well, so from there you go to the University of Florida to do a master's in acting, and you throw your hat in to see if you can get through a diversity lottery, a green card.
Yeah.
You don't get it the first time, but since we know the theme of your life is to keep persisting, you persist, and you get it.
Yeah.
So rock star you.
Which is also luck.
Which is sure. It could have rolled the dice until you stop rolling, I guess.
It's out of 55 million people, only 50,000 get it.
Oh, my word.
Every year, it's now done, and they're not doing it anymore. Yeah.
So we'll get to that question.
I knew you were there.
Because that's on my mind.
Yeah.
But you head to New York, and you're doing theater, which is sort of a first love for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're getting some small TV roles, and you start a Portuguese theater.
Yep.
Now, when I read about this, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this name.
Yes.
Soledad?
It's very close. Soledad.
Soledad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a word that only exists in Portuguese.
And what does it mean?
It's sort of, it's hard to explain because it only exists in Portuguese. It's really a way of being and a way of living. It's the deep longing for something or someone that may or may not come back. And that's not necessarily a sad thing. We actually find ourselves reveling in that. Reveling, is that the word?
It can be. Where are you going with this?
Enjoying it a little bit.
Yes.
Not enjoying as like, oh, this is so great, but sort of understanding that life has that, and let's celebrate that as well.
Yes. Between grief and nothing, I choose grief a little bit. So we talked about before we started the show. We talked about sort of sad Portuguese music called fado, and there's a lot of that in fado, which is the longing of going to sea, right, and coming back, and lost loves, and so Soledad is about longing. Does it have to be a person, or can it also be that character that you played once and may never play again?
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
I'm feeling a lot of Soledad for Pedro Nava, the character I played on on Snowfall.
That's fascinating.
I can't wait to go back and meet and be with him again.
And see how he grows and progresses. And
sure.
So we will, he is right around the corner. We're getting to him in two seconds. Just a quick thing about Sodad. Did you start it to introduce Americans to Portuguese culture? Which, if you haven't been, Portugal is just a beautiful, beautiful country.
Yeah.
Or did you want to introduce Portuguese theater or...
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I think at first, again, subconsciously what was happening was I was having to explain myself a lot. I think any Portuguese person who lives in this country, we get a lot of questions. Like, what is Portugal? Where are you? Where is this? Do you guys have cars? I've been asked that.
No.
Genuinely, I've been asked if we have cars. You know, and I don't say this as like, oh, everyone is so ignorant. But I started to realize, wow, there is really very little perspective on this country that I love so much. And that, like you say, has beautiful culture and art and everything to give.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that was definitely part of the mission of the company. It's like, listen, there's something here that is not, there's a perspective that is not being approached and explored and played with.
Mm-hmm.
And second is see where the Portuguese playwrights nowadays are meeting sort of like the political situation in America, and seeing if we can find work that is being written by Portuguese playwrights that we can actually do theater that is relevant. You know, we're not interested in doing a museum theater company that says, here's what Portuguese culture is like.
Okay.
We're interested in finding
finding
where the two meet. You know, kind of, we keep talking about building a bridge between, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean between Portugal and New York, and sort of finding a way to come together and meet each other halfway and say, actually, a lot of the things that happened in this election in America, we were dealing with them 3 years ago in Portugal, and this was similar things happened in people, you know. So that's what interests us.
Oh, sort that's of fascinating.
Meeting this, and it's also our reality, you know. A lot of us are immigrants, and we're here. When I've been here for 13 years, so there's a part of me that also feels American.
Sure, you know? it's a long time, 13 years. Yeah. So, do you only have Portuguese actors in that theater?
Mm-mm.
No, so it's open.
You gave me one, so this is... Yeah. No. We actually made it a point to bring people from, you know, people who were also interested in exploring this culture from the outside perspective, because I felt like if it's just a group of Portuguese artists talking amongst themselves, then something is bound to be lost.
Sure.
You know, so let's bring members who get to bring another perspective on this culture, on this way of being, on this way of seeing, and seeing how they see it before we present it to an audience. They will help us have that perspective as well, so... We have members from America, Mexico, Brazil. Those are the three so far. I'm missing someone for sure. I think that's it. So, Brazil, Mexico, and America, and then Portuguese.
Well, I'll take that response to do a little bridge now to Snowfall. So Mexico, okay. So you play Pedro Nava in Snowfall, and I wondered, first two things, what attracted you to Snowfall beyond John Singleton, which is an obvious, but also what kind of preparation you had to do as a Portuguese actor to play a Mexican.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously the accents are not the same.
Yeah,
so.
I mean... That's actually something we can talk about. I mean, my character is very much an Americanized Mexican person. He was born in L.A.
Yeah,
that's part of the story, you know. And you'll get to see it when you see the show, you know, the whole journey of it. So in terms of accent, I didn't have to do much work, you know. I think they were actually happy with what I was bringing, which was my own.
Great.
Which is sort of this in-between. I don't even know. A lot of people tell me I don't have an accent. A lot of people tell me I do. And it's like, I don't pay attention to it anymore. But... You know, in terms of, you asked me what attracted me to Snowfall. I have to be very honest with you. At the time when I got the appointment, I wasn't thinking like that. You know, at some point as an actor, you become sort of, okay, I have a scene to work on. I have an audition to put together. Let me do my best in this audition. Because if I'm to think, okay, I'm going to get to work with John Singleton and I'm going to... Then I'll just lose myself.
Right.
Because those have been my dreams for so long.
Yes.
You know, and that's been part of my experience lately with all of this is a sort of... understanding, you know, that even though you've been dreaming about this for so long, this is now your reality and it's your work and it's the way, you know, there's a little bit of that, you know. At the time when I got the appointment, it's like, all right, let's do it. I was actually, to be honest with you, I was very much having one of those New York moments. I was like, I need to get out of this city right now. I'm exhausted. I just need to get out. So I booked a flight to go see my friends in Atlanta. And the day after, an appointment comes in for Snowfall. And they had given me 3 days, but because I was leaving to Atlanta the day after, I only had 1 day to prepare my first tape for Snowfall. So I invited, you know, my good Portuguese friend Diogo Martins, who's my co-artistic director, to come over. We spent the day home just like going at these 17 pages that I had to prepare in one day. Go, 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 go. It was just like sweating in the house and just, let's do this. It's great. It's great. And I sent it. And I left to go to Atlanta. And then I'm in Atlanta and we actually went back to Gainesville.
Oh.
Because it's close where I went to grad school, and we're in Gainesville, which is
Florida.
Also very, yeah, Gainesville, Florida. It's very serendipitous that I was there, and I got the phone call from my manager saying, hey, you are on hold for this. They want to make sure that you have the whole month of August available. I'm like,
I do. I have the whole month of August and more.
I have the whole, exactly. I was like, are you serious? Yes, I am there.
I will find some time.
Yeah. So after that, a month went by, and we didn't hear. So as you do as an actor, you learn to move on, and you're just, okay, good. And then we got an email saying,
you have some saudade.
You have some saudade, for sure. There you go. Too much of
it. I'll drink to my first Portuguese word.
Too much of it. Yeah. To saudade. So, you know, another month went by, and we got another email saying, hey, we just wanted to make sure that Philippe knows that he's still on hold. And at the time, what do you mean? We're just, okay, great. And then another week goes by, nothing. And then they asked me to put myself, because I had put myself on tape for another character, Alejandro.
Two in Snowfall.
And then they asked me to put myself on tape again, this time for Pedro.
Okay.
Yeah, so I put myself on tape for Pedro, and then another week went by, we didn't hear. And then, meanwhile, Portugal is playing Euro Cup. We're playing the Euro Cup.
Yes, all right.
And we won it for the first time.
Yay,
we won it, and the same day that Portugal won, I got the phone call from my manager saying, you got it. You're in Snowfall, so I'm dancing.
Oh,
I'm dancing through the streets of New York with a Portuguese flag, crying, like singing the Portuguese anthem.
And oh my God.
My girlfriend's there. She's also crying. One of my best friends was also there. He happened to be in New York. He was also there. Very serendipitous. One of my very best friends was also there, and we just got to spend the whole weekend celebrating. It was definitely very special. So, and then that's when I started thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be in a John Singleton project, because I didn't want to have those thoughts before. And then, you know, I started to find the things that would definitely excite me about this, and it was everything, especially as it grew, you know, shooting all the episodes. Then I started to understand, wait a second, there's something very unique and different about what we're doing here, which is really exciting.
And can you expand on that a little bit, because now we have only been privy to the first two episodes, but I know that the characters are gonna, I can already see it in the first two episodes, that the characters are really developing, and there's just great editing, I think, and great filming.
Beautiful.
And obviously great acting, but some really sort, you know, the pace is tight and fast, and
it's cool.
But you know, of course, we're only into two episodes from our perspective. So if you could talk to me a little bit about the development of why this is a special project.
Well, I think definitely from the perspective of, I think, the look of it. I've been telling everyone, listen, you need to watch it because it's a love letter to the city.
To Los Angeles.
Los Angeles looks gorgeous. The way they shoot it, the way the colors are different from every story, every perspective has a different color. It's really beautiful, and it's so well shot. And
it is so well shot.
Yeah, yeah. Very. Watch it because of that. But also beyond that, you know, what I was trying to tell you was, you know, I have auditioned for a lot of Mexican gangsters, as I do because of the way I look. You know, you get the appointments like Mexican gangster number two or Mexican gang leader number three. You know, it's like you get those a lot. So when I first received this audition, to be perfectly honest with you, I was like, okay, here we go. Again, another Mexican gangster.
Uh-huh.
But it was very well written. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting about it. And it felt very easy. When I put myself on tape for Pedro, it was like, this is easy. This is great. It's so well written. Because that's, you know, great acting is great writing.
Yes,
you know, if
it
you
has
have great
to be.
Writing, is you know, you can do it much better
it
job.
It flows so much easier.
Yeah. So, I lost my thought here. Where was I?
Verde, people.
That's what it does. Exactly. And now I'm lost.
Well, you were saying why it's such a special project. Because usually it's stereotypical Mexican
gangster.
Exactly,
yeah. But it starts there. Mm-hmm. It maybe, I think what the show does such a good job at is like, here is someone who you think is a stereotype. And over and over again, you've seen this person as a stereotype.
Yes.
They were not interested in that. From the very beginning, they were pushing me against that, you know, and constantly reminding me that these are kids who are scared. Mm-hmm. They're not aware of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're scared. And it very, very, very quickly became a family story for me. And then I know I've been watching with John and Dave and Tommy, all the people involved in it are talking about it. They also, that was their intention, you know. And for me, that was the journey, understanding that this is actually a story where you get to see the back of the scenes, behind the scenes, right, in this family, and see what their the repercussions, the very much emotional and psychological repercussions of being part of something like the crack epidemic, you know, in Los Angeles in the 80s.
Yes, which, and his chance to prove himself and what that means against his father and all these insecurities that come from family dynamics. And
all of the characters have that, some sort of need to prove themselves, and that's, you know, the American dream, right? And that's, this was a time where these characters couldn't see any other way. This was it. This is the way that they were going to provide for their families and survive.
And people do what they know. That's human nature, and that's the sign, I think, of good writing, when it's very true to human nature. So what was it like to be with John Singleton on set? And most of your scenes, at least so far, you're also with, let's see if I get this name right, Emmy Rossi?
Emily Rios.
Rios. So you're with her most of your scenes, at least so far.
Yeah, a lot of them were with Emily and Sergio, and then Jose, who plays my dad.
But we haven't gotten too much into your dad yet.
You were introduced to it.
Right.
More to come.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
You don't want to know. I get anxious just to think about it.
But so what was it like to be working with John?
John is a very warm, gentle human being. He's always sort of smiling or smirking. There's always something just playful about him, which is so contagious. I love that sort of energy. You know, he's obviously very knowledgeable of this period because he partially lived it.
Right.
So that's really the sort of person you want to have around when you're doing something like this, where, you know, especially for me being my first big opportunity like this.
Yes.
Not that I haven't had other big opportunities in my perspective, but definitely this is a new, you know, feels like a new step in my career. It's really important to have people like John there that just have that ability to put their hand on your shoulder and be like, what do you need? You know, and it's like, okay.
So I love that for two reasons. Mm. It's great to work with people who are not freaking out all the time. Yeah. You know, who've been around the block enough that they can just chill and extend that to you. Yeah. And I think that just dictates the entire atmosphere on set.
Yeah.
And then what I love about his work is that there's always some of him in the work.
Yeah.
And I always think that that makes for good work. It's authentic and it's true. And that's always the best storytelling. Yeah, so I'm just excited about Snowfall. And I know you don't know yet. We were talking about this right before. If you think Snowfall's going to be picked up for season two, you don't know yet. But when will you find out?
I'm just as much in the dark.
Right, they might keep you waiting.
Yeah.
And you know what else is amazing to me and what you've told me? That you got Snowfall from a tape. They never pulled you in person.
No. Yeah, I don't know how. I really
That's
didn't.
That's amazing.
I didn't believe that I had it until two FX executives acknowledged me and said, Philippe, you're here. I'm like, hi.
I can't believe it.
You have connected my face to my name. You know exactly who I am. Because when you're in New York and you're sending these tapes to LA, it just feels like you're
off into nowhere. Yeah,
who's going to watch this, right?
Who's got the time for this? Yeah.
And I still don't believe it. I still don't, you know, I don't think I still quite, you know, landed on all of this. The fact that I didn't have to come here and audition in person for them, that's, but, you know, they had seen another one of my tapes, so obviously they were happy with what they saw. Yeah. So you also have to put that faith in them and be like, okay, they know what they're doing, right? They obviously saw something that is there, you know?
Right. So. Well, I certainly hope that we get more of Snowfall. But I wanted to pick up on what you had mentioned before. You've seen this Mexican gangster time and time again. Mm-hmm. Do you ever worry about being typecast or...
All the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does one break out of typecasting?
It's hard, I think. I think it's hard. I think it's becoming easier. I think there are more and more there are stories that are looking to fight the stereotypes and specifically and very deliberately go against what you've always seen from this specific culture or background or, you know, whatever it is. Of course, it's hard. It's not hard, but being a Portuguese person in this country, I don't fall into any sort of stereotype because people just don't have a stereotype.
They don't know anything about Portugal.
What it is Portuguese, you know? So then I tend to fall in that ambiguous place. And because of the way I look, which is very much Latino, and I always grew up thinking that I was Latino because my mom grew up, you have Latin blood. You have Latin blood in you. Latin blood in you. So then to get here and to sort of, you know, the racial discussion is much more present in the United States than it is in Portugal, obviously.
Sure.
So because it's been part of the narrative.
Right.
So it's been sort of, you know, trying to find my way and and understanding that I, because of the way I look, which is, you know, people just tell me you're ethnically ambiguous, you know, which is something that I can hold on to, because it's okay, then that means I can go for this role, but also that role, and also this, and also that. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not any of those things, you know? I am Portuguese. And this is also goes back to the birth of my theater company. It's like, wait, I am, you know, because being in Snowfall and immersing myself in the Mexican culture and doing all the research, and I come at it from a place of respect and responsibility. That's part of my job. But at the end of the day, you want to tell your stories. You want to be able to tell your stories.
To bring,
you know,
some of you.
Some, I mean, not that I brought a... I made an effort to bring a lot of me. That's what an actor does. You can't help, but you have to go get things within you to play a role, no matter what role it is.
Yes.
There's every role is in you, you know. But at the same time, there are a lot of specific intricacies.
Is that intricacies?
Yeah. Sometimes I say words that are more complicated than they're smarter than me. There are a lot of things that you wanna be respectful to and responsible with, and you're telling a story that very much, you know, is trying to tell the truth, so you want to get closer to that truth, right?
Yes.
So yeah, that's a really long answer to your question.
No, I understand this, and I see also the, you say responsibility, and so you're saying, you know, you're in Europe, and of course the French are Latin, you know, the Italians are Latin, Spanish are Latin, so Latin, and it comes with such pride, as it should, and you're in Latin America, you aren't, you're in Europe, but if one's in Latin America, the same thing, this Latin discussion comes with such pride, and here we're having these, sometimes, not always, sometimes negative conversations about being Latin or what that means to some people, and so there's this enormous responsibility. To even though you are not of Mexican heritage, but to defend is perhaps not the right word, but to really bring the honor to it that you can, because you understand that that Latin title, and you're proud of that Latin title, and you have your culture you've been defending and want to share, and you know that they must feel the same. So it's,
of course,
it's an interesting position to be Latin, playing another Latin that is not your culture.
Yeah,
I think that's interesting.
And being, I think a lot of people, you know, being Latino is South America. You know, it's not European, right? I am European.
But they have Latin blood. Yeah. But yes, it is South of right.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I guess what I'm expressing to you is that I have a question to your question.
Yes,
which is
ahead.
No, this, all of these thoughts are a question to you.
Yes,
because you know, I completely understand the need for truth and the need for accuracy in storytelling. You know, but then there's the side of me which is, wait, I am Portuguese. There's not a single Portuguese character in American media. There's not one. Maybe Brazilian. Maybe there'll be a random Brazilian showing up once in a while. But there's not a Portuguese person, right? So then, what stories am I entitled to?
Right.
You know, what stories am I entitled to? And I feel like, well, I'm entitled to them because I have studied, I have learned to bring my truth to it, but at the same time honor the truth that is outside of myself, you know. So I definitely went on into some really dark holes of research for Snowfall. Like, I remember sitting down for an hour and watching a YouTube video of what East LA felt like in the 80s, just so I could feel, okay, what is this, you know? And so much of me being Portuguese, being on the other side of the ocean, these lands, you know, Hollywood, Broadway, New York, L.A., you know, the world of John Singleton, Boys in the Hood. I remember being 12 and watching it with my uncle in the middle of the night because he got home and he's like, we're going to watch this movie, and like watching it. But still, it's very much a reality that is outside of myself. So then to arrive at it, it's all about understanding it, you know, the perspective, and honor it and respect it and understand that, listen, there's an attempt to tell a truthful story here. So it's your job to contribute to that truth. Right.
Yes, and in a way, because you can't, you say, what role could be mine? I'm Portuguese and there's not a single character.
Yeah.
I would think you would have to land on the logic, well, any role can be mine. Because I'm an actor, and I do the research, and I do the honor, and I do the love, and I do the work. It's always about the work. There's never any way around the work.
Yeah.
I do the work.
Yeah.
And so every role is mine. Could be mine.
Could be.
Could be mine.
Yeah, but, you know, but then there's the other argument, which is very much, you know, I understand it. You know, I understand. You know, there's been a lot of discussions on casting lately, or, you know, whether it was Scarlett Johansson playing an Asian character. You know, of course, like, no, let's try harder. harder, right? So there is that.
That's
what I'm telling you. For me, it's like, wait, yes, let's try harder, but there's not a single Portuguese character. So then what am I left with?
Right. I see.
But I feel like the way that Portuguese people navigate through life is very much, in many ways, similar to what, you know, being Latino means, you know. And that's also what I was trying to do, you know, find the parallels between the two cultures, you know. And there's a lot, actually. You'd be surprised how much of how many parallels are there between the Mexican culture and the Portuguese culture, you know. And a lot of my best friends that I have made in America, you know, serendipitously or not, are Mexican. You know, in my Mexican, in my tennis team, you know, a lot of the people that I grew up to be very close to were the Mexican people. So I've also had that research that has been in my life, you know. But yeah, it's this is all a question. None of it is a, you know.
It's a long discussion,
It's too long. We shouldn't have gotten into
it. We should have lots of wine and lots of food. Yeah. You guys have a couple hours because we could stay here. I do want to get to one sort of political question and then some lighter-hearted questions. You know, the United States has changed a lot since you landed here 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So given the political climate of the day, do you think you could even be here now? What would it do to your American dream if you started now?
Wow, that's a really big question.
Thank you, our engineer. This is the game show question.
Yeah,
that's a tricky question.
it is a big question. I'll tell you what. I actually, you know, my impulse at first was to say I'm leaving. Like the American dream that I, for so long, I have fought for, or, you know, whatever that means. It very much right
changing
now feels like
time.
It's changing. However, I also feel, because I've been here for 13 years, and I'm now starting, there's a part of me that starts to feel American, as you do. You know, I grew up, my whole adult life has been in America.
Right.
So a lot of my consciousness, politically, socially, is American, you know. So I want to stay, and I want to be part of, you know, I want to help in whatever way I can.
Education,
know?
Change,
yeah,
information.
Yeah, it was very, you know, it just became very easy to give back in ways that... perhaps in the past I've been afraid of, you know. It's just like in that moment it was like, okay, who needs my help right now, you know? And it's no one needs my help in Portugal, or I shouldn't say that about it. No, but there's, you know, I can try and make a difference here.
Yes.
You know, I listened to this interview with Patrick Stewart, and he says that, and he's like, why, you know, why should I stay? He talks about talking to his wife, and he says, why should I stay? This is a mess. And he says, no, his wife told him, like, no, this is the moment. And maybe I'm butchering the story, but this is the moment that you should stay for.
To,
you know?
Stay.
Yeah,
this is
because
when we need,
if you care about this country, if you care about everything that it stands for, then it's now, in my opinion, being hurt. So if there's anything that I can bring to it, I will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Please stay.
Yeah,
please
thank
stay.
You.
Please stay and get a second season.
Yeah.
we were slowly getting kicked out here, so I just have a couple of light-hearted questions for you.
Okay.
And they're really good questions,
awesome.
I think, because these are always my favorite questions. So
are they like rapid fire?
Oh, they're kind of rapid
good.
Fire, but favorite Portuguese food to make.
A manjos abelhão pat. They're
what?
Clams. Yeah, made with wine and lemon sauce and olive oil and parsley. It's very, very good.
That sounds great. Do you ever entertain through dinner parties?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Too
all
much.
The time. Yeah. In fact, I have a different television show called The Celebrity Dinner Party, and I invite celebs who don't know each other, and then I make food for them and everyone in the audience, and then we live stream it, and so you can order the same food that we're making ahead of time, so that you can eat it in Limoni, Iowa, and we're all having dinner together. It's one big flash mob dinner party together.
Amazing.
The Celebrity Dinner Party. So you can go to my site, thedinnerparty.tv, if you want to see any of those.
Perfect.
So your favorite food to make is clams. Kind of easy clams. That's
I can
great.
Think of many, but that's one of them.
It's great to entertain clams because, I mean, you have to just buy a bunch of clams, and then they're not that hard to make.
Yeah.
So it's great for entertaining, I always think. Okay, you're on set. Snowfall, favorite snack. Can be junk food or healthy. You name it.
Oh, wow. Favorite snack on set. I try to stay away from crafties. I try.
Hard though.
Yeah, just you know, the whatever nuts they have.
Nuts.
I try to stay healthy, yeah. So I was like, all right, let me get some. Yeah, some nuts.
Okay. And since I do lots of dinner parties and I do that show called The Celebrity Dinner Party, who would you like to have dinner with, dead or alive? Anybody that you've always wanted to sit down. Food and drink is the ultimate bridge to people's hearts. So
that's a big one. It's a big one. I really like to have dinner with Riz Ahmed right now. Do you know who he is?
I do not.
He's the lead on The Night Of on HBO, and he's now on Star Wars. I really love everything he has to say.
And is it him personally or the characters that he's played?
Both. Both the work and the way he does what I'm doing right now with you. I think he is very eloquent, very sort of what I aspire to in an artist. So I'd love to sit down with him and just, how do you do what you do?
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
And tell me, you know, everything about you. Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating.
I really admire him. Yeah.
So one of the people. Now, so I have a long list, and of course, if everyone, you know, I ask this question of everybody, and then I have to answer all the people that I'd like to have dinner with, and so many. But I would like to have dinner with, and I am frustrated that it's not on the tip of my tongue, his name, that funky Portuguese architect who does everything with maritime themes that you see everywhere in Lisbon.
I know this.
All of the cathedrals.
I have a really good friend who's an architect who's going to kill me for not knowing who this is.
He does all of the, like, marine ropes and fish. All these cathedrals, but they're with, like, fish and...
I should have said Portuguese. Now you look cool and I look terrible. Yeah, there's many other people. That
of
was
course.
One that
No, of
popped
course,
right
and
now.
It's so hard on the spot. I should have given you that question ahead of time so you could have, like, snuck me an answer.
No, it's okay. That was a good answer. I love Riz Ahmed, so...
Yeah. Riz Ahmed. Okay, so a couple facts about Portugal that we would love to learn.
A couple facts about Portugal that you...
Okay, I'll add some. In the north, you've got Porto, and Porto brings you port. That's good stuff, people.
Exactly,
So we've got Porto in the north.
Yeah.
So here's what I did when I went to Portugal.
Okay.
I went by myself. I had just started my television show, The Celebrity Dinner Party, and I was working like a dog. And as soon as we got summer break, I said, oh, my gosh, I have to get away. I'm kind of losing it. I'm working so much. So I booked a ticket for 3 weeks, completely unplanned time in Portugal. I flew into Porto. I drank some port. And then I just meandered without any real... I mean, I knew all the places I wanted to go, but I didn't have to be anywhere at a certain time. I didn't have hotel reservations. I went down to a university town.
Okay.
And then made it to Lisbon. And then from Lisbon, I was taking the bus, and I couldn't get directly to these towns.
How long ago was this?
2012.
Oh, nice.
I couldn't get directly to these towns without going to Lisbon and then going back up to Óbidos,
okay.
I think
Óbidos?
It was.
Yeah, Óbidos. Beautiful, right?
So sweet.
Gorgeous,
little medieval town. And, you know, I just drank wine and had, you know, and saw churches and architect, you know, went to visit museums. And and I have a great Portuguese story if I can tell it. Okay, so then I went to another town where they had a famous cathedral.
Okay.
And then I went back to Lisbon, where I loved it. Then I went to Sintra. Oh,
Sintra is where I'm from. Yeah, that's where my parents live right now.
I thought you said...
Cascais.
Yes,
which is, so, Lisbon, Cascais, Sintra.
Okay.
And we grew up in Cascais, but my family is now living in Sintra. So every time I go home, I'm in Sintra.
Which is a magical fairy tale little place.
And it's
place.
All part of the district of Lisbon, all those small cities.
Yeah, and then all the beach towns of Lisbon. Yeah. And then, so Lisbon, everyone, just in case, or Portugal, just in case you don't know, and you probably do, it's like... this is not pejorative.
No.
It's like a snake alongside Spain.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of hugs Spain all the way down. So fish...
They
and,
hug us,
and,
too.
Yeah, I bet they do. Oh, those Spaniards. So it's lots of fish and seafood.
Good
and,
seafood, right?
Historically a marine, you know, a port city. And
that's one of the most beautiful trips to just drive down the coast
just
of Portugal.
So just beautiful. It was great to be in a bus so I could just look out the window.
Yeah.
And then... I went all the way down to Monchique.
Monchique.
And the coast down there. And so I hear the music, and I don't know if that means we're being kicked off. I have to say quickly, if I ever go to Portugal, I have a $400 ticket that
Please
I have not
know.
Paid.
Oh, no.
I didn't pay it. And here's why. You get on the bus in Lisbon. Okay, really quick. You get on the bus in Lisbon, And I didn't have exact change.
I'm going to call the Portuguese government.
I was so afraid when I was leaving the country that they were going to pull me aside. But you can't. I didn't have exact change. Yeah. And it was on a Sunday. They kicked me off the bus. I couldn't get exact change. And I thought, well, what's the likelihood that the same ticket guy is going to be on the next bus?
And it was.
I get on the next bus and the guy is... And he
I'm laughing
gives me
because
a ticket
I can
for
see you. I can see you
exactly. And he kicked me off the bus again. So I had to walk home, which was fine. I am so sad about this. Yeah. I hear the music in the background. We are getting kicked off. We will leave the show in that I have a $400 outstanding ticket in Portugal. But otherwise, we're still drinking wine.
I don't have more. I don't have more.
Oh, wait. I've got to hold on, people. This show is not really over. I'll pour you some more wine. Thanks, everybody, for being here with me. Where can we find you on social media?
Again, Felipe V. Costa on both Instagram and Twitter. And then my official page is my name on Facebook.
You can find me, Elizabeth Alfano, Instagram and Twitter, DinnerPartyCHGO. All my stuff's on thedinnerparty.tv, and I'm still on Facebook at Elizabeth Alfano. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I super appreciate it. Thanks for being with me.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth.
Snowfall. Watch it, peeps.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.